Welcome to Nutty Bites, episode 2.
What's awesome in the month of February? Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what's not awesome. I was sick. Sick. I don't usually get sick. Usually, if I do get something, it's something I can work with. I can work through, no big deal. The last time I was really sick was 2009. So when I woke up with what I thought was a head cold, I didn't really think anything of it. Of course, I was in New York needing to get back home to Canada. So I started my trip and it got worse. And when I stopped in Connecticut for a little while to take care of some administrative business, and it got worse. And then I headed on up to Canada and it got worse. And I stopped in New Brunswick for the evening and it was really bad. And then when I finally got home to Nova Scotia, I was absolutely miserable, feeling like complete and utter garbage. So I went in and went to the health clinic and it turned out I had pneumonia. So all this time that I had planned out to record a special feature for the podcast, I couldn't do because I had no voice. I sounded like Dr. Girlfriend, only worse, maybe more like Harvey Firestein. I had to turn down a bunch of voice work. And on top of all that, I didn't even have enough breath to speak even full sentences without gasping. So that was not awesome. But what was awesome is the fact that I was able to go to the clinic. I was able to get chest x-rays and everything and a prescription for some antibiotics. And it was like an hour, maybe. I didn't pay anything. The people were really nice. I didn't get treated like a leper because I didn't have health insurance because now I'm a resident of Canada and it's all kind of included. And it just felt so good. I don't know what I would have done had I gotten pneumonia without insurance still living in the States. I think I probably would have ended up a lot worse and ended up in the hospital. What also was awesome was when my husband came home, he took really good care of me. He cooked all my meals. He went out and got whatever I needed. And it was really great to just be able to not worry about anything and just take the time that I needed. I wasn't able to work. I wasn't able to think. I couldn't talk on the phone. I couldn't even draw. There was like nothing that I could do. But I'm on the mend, almost done with my antibiotics, feeling a million times better. I'm still coughing just a little. So if you hear a bit of that, I do apologize. But no, it was pretty cool. All in all, it sucks to get sick, but it was a great experience in getting better. Another thing that I thought was kind of interesting, yesterday, my pharmacy called me to make sure I was indeed feeling better because I was prescribed antibiotics, just to make sure that if I wasn't feeling better, they would have probably urged me to go back to the doctor. And I've never had anything like that before. That was kind of interesting. So go Shoppers. Thank you for the call.
Girls Who Speak Klingon, totally hot. You're listening to the Nutty Bites podcast.
What am I reading? What are you reading? So this month we've got a little bit of feedback for this section. So without further ado, I'm just going to play it.
Vivid Muse here from the Into the Blender podcast and the Girls Rules podcast. What I'm reading? Well, currently my husband and I are reading Game of Thrones by George R.R. Martin to each other. This is how we share our favorite books with each other, and Game of Thrones is definitely one of my favorites, and I'm insisting on him being familiar with the world before the show starts in April on HBO. I've also just started listening to Nathan Lowell's Owner's Share in podcast form, his latest, possibly last installment in the Golden Age of the Solar Clipper series. And I'm greatly anticipating starting the third book in Scott Westerfield's The Uglies series, and that book is called The Specials. So that's what I'm reading. What are you reading?
I have to say, I totally agree with you there, Viv. Game of Thrones is by far one of the best book series ever. I can read it over and over and over again. I've been reading it for several years now, and I can just, anytime I get in a room with somebody else who's a fan, I can just talk for hours just about Game of Thrones. And I'm really excited about the HBO series. So far, everything looks really cool. It looks like they're getting the right look and feel for the series. There are nitpicks, of course. I'm not sure why King Robert doesn't have black hair and blue eyes. It's very important. And, you know, Daenerys doesn't have purple eyes, but I can overlook the non-purple eyes. That's fine. But everything else just looks really good. And I'm happy with the casting that they've chosen, even though they're not exactly what I would have chosen. But I think they're doing really well. And some of the people that I normally wouldn't have chosen because I wouldn't have placed them physically looking exactly like a character, I'm very happy with because they've gotten some really good actors. And if you can act like a character, it's so much better than looking like a character because honestly, the look doesn't really matter that much. Back to reading, not television shows, because that's what this segment's all about. I finished up The Hunger Games. I know I talked about it in the last podcast, but I've now gone through all three books. I ripped right through them. As I said before, The Hunger Games is kind of like The Lottery meets The Running Man, only it's very engaging, very interesting. You're following... It's in a post-apocalyptic world where basically people have been pushed down so far and their rights have been taken away so much that they accept, not really accept, they have to deal with sacrificing two of their children every year to this competition where only one person survives. And it's not even like they're willing to do this or that it's a choice. They really don't have a choice. And it's a way to remind them, yes, you have no power and you have no control. And you follow a young girl from one of these poorer districts, towns. And it's just very interesting, the ideas that come up as you read it. It is a young adult. So it's, you know, See, it's a young adult, but there is a lot of violence in it. So when I say young adult, I'm thinking high school, not middle school. I highly recommend it to pretty much anyone. I'm a big fan of young adults, actually. young adult books. I enjoy reading them. I don't know what it is about the young adult genre that kind of grabs me a bit, but I don't know. I like it. And what I'd like to read next, but I don't actually have, is the 13 Reasons Why. And that's a book that I heard about from Aaron Makeham of the Sci-Fi Dig podcast. And now one of my nieces is reading it. And I want to read that next. But there's, you know, only so many hours in a day. Not enough time to read.
Hey, kittens. This is Vivid Muse from the Girls Rules podcast. And you're listening to the tasty, nom-tastic, Nutty Bites.
What are you listening to?
So this month, I've started listening to The Potential Cast, which is a podcast about, you've got four people. One person has seen all of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and three others have not. They're watching it for the very first time. And I found out about this podcast. I had heard a bit about it, but nothing really grabbed me. But when the person in charge, Stephanie, the one who has seen all of Buffy, she was on Upside Down and Halfway to Happy Land, and Kim, aka Athena Muse, interviewed her, and she explained the podcast about how they were going through and everyone was just watching Buffy for the very first time, the reactions, and how they have these theories and guesses as to what's happening. And sometimes they're way off base. And other times they're like dead on. And I'm not going to say what they're dead on about here, just in case some of the potential cast hosts, the ones that are new to Buffy, are listening to this, because I will not spoil you, because it is so much fun listening to their thoughts about each of the episodes and their guesses and everything else. And when something really big happens, like, for instance, the big change with Angel in season 2 happened. That won't be spoiling it for them, but I'm not going to spoil anything for anyone else. But the big change happened, and listening to them as they watched it and experienced it for the very first time, not knowing that this was going to happen, was amazing. It was so much fun hearing their shock and their thoughts about it, because, I mean, I've been watching Buffy since it first aired. I mean, I watched the premiere episode, the pilot, when it first aired, and I saw just about every Buffy episode on its first airing, except for, I think, the last half of season 7, because I was in a bit of an upheaval and moving and had lots of issues with getting to television, but I shortly remedied that, I think, that summer. So other than that, I've watched them all. I have the whole collection, you know, all 7 seasons in my possession. Thank you very much, Zero Killer. That was a Christmas present years ago. And I will go through periodically and rewatch. And so for me, it's kind of like old hat. The same thing with Angel. I have the whole box set. That was an Amazon box set deal. It was like $50. It was amazing. But so for me to hear somebody's new opinion about these different Buffy episodes, it's so exciting. And it's so much fun, because a lot of times they'll comment on certain things and people are like, well, that was how it was in the 90s. And it's funny, because it's like, it's not that long ago. I mean, the 90s, it's not like we're talking about the 60s. Is there really such a big difference? But the things that they point out, I guess there was. It's really funny. And I guess, you know, if you think about it, we're, 20 years removed from 1990. So it's a big change, although it doesn't seem like that to me. I feel really old right now. Anyway, so go listen to the potential cast. I find them hysterical. I have to say, one of the hosts, Illyrio, cracks me up just with certain observations and how invested he really is in this series and in the different characters. And it's just awesome. So go check them out. Listen and enjoy. Another thing that I'm listening to is my husband, Tech. He went and he was on a business trip, and on this business trip visited with a friend, and he found this band. His friend introduced him to this band called Mindless Self-Indulgence, MSI. Now, I'm going to warn you, listeners. See, this is a clean podcast, but Mindless Self-Indulgence, not always clean. I'm going to try to play some of the music on the podcast here, but not all of it, because I'm not going to have any of the expletives. So enjoy, listen to them. They're a lot of fun. The video for the song that I want to play for everyone here was directed by Yonan Vasquez. Now, that's the guy that wrote the comic Johnny the Homicidal Maniac, and he's also the guy who was behind Invader Zim, two of which things I am a huge fan of. And the video, I just love. And of course, that's now led me to looking at other videos that were directed by him, all of which are fun. So follow that rabbit hole down if you can.
I heard it on Twitter.
So here's just a few awesome things that I found on Twitter in this last month. First one is, and it's not really something I found on Twitter, it's something I posted on Twitter, but it's the Google Art Project, in which you can virtually go into museums all around the world, look at the different art, actually walk through the different museums, kind of like you could with Google Street View, only inside the museum. It is so awesome. For me, it was a lot of fun to go to some of the museums that I've been to and to walk around. And I don't know how to explain that feeling, but it's kind of like the feeling you get when you're watching a television or a movie that was filmed somewhere you've been, or filmed even in your hometown, and you can notice, oh, I've been there. It's kind of like when my husband plays the new Assassin's Creed 2, and it's all around Italy, and as he's going through, he'll call me. I was like, hey, we were here. It's just kind of a neat thing. But yeah, so googleartproject.com is the link. So go check that out. While I was sick, I was a little concerned about germifying Rory. Rory being my puppet slash mascot slash friend slash companion slash awesome and known as Rory Says Arar, R-A-W-R, on Twitter. So because I was sick, I didn't want to get all my germs inside of Rory because he is made of cloth and stuff with fluff. I didn't want my germs to just stay in there and then reinfect myself. And I was kind of afraid, like, okay, so how do I de-germify him without ruining his shape and everything else? I mean, the poor guy's already been through a washing and a drying, several years ago. So I'm not sure how much more he can take. Well, I got lots of feedback on that, by the way. Thank you very much about how to wash him softly, but that I don't really need to put him in the washer, that I can just use the dryer to get it hot enough to sanitize him. So that's good. Wrapping him in a nylon bag, that was good information. One of the things that I thought was hysterical, and this is a tweet from my mother, telling me that I've got to put him in the gentle cycle or use a hairdryer to dry him and don't put him in the washer because we really don't want him to lose his shape or to get TBI. Now, for those of you who don't know, TBI is traumatic brain injury. And my mother, she works in the field of developmental disorders and traumatic brain injury and things like that. So I just found it hysterical. That was really cool. Zachman showed me a link to on YouTube. You can watch the entirety of Terry Pratchett's Going Postal. It's a miniseries that was done on the BBC. It was awesome. It was very steampunky. It was a lot of fun. It looked great. For some reason, the main character reminded me a lot of T. Morris, but I don't know. Like, I really feel like T. Morris could have played that role. So now I've found out that there's also Hogfather and The Color of Magic. So I'm going to start watching those. But Going Postal, yeah, that gets two thumbs up for me. That was entirely fun and geeky and awesome. And it all takes place in Terry Pratchett's Discworld. Also on YouTube, a link to YouTube, is somebody took an old computer with different size floppy disks, you know, the big old ones that were really floppy, and then the hard plastic floppies, and they actually got the music. They got the computer to actually make music just by running these different disks, so all at the same time. So check out the show notes, check out the link. It's entirely geeky and awesome for anyone that has a history with older computers. So also, Sunrise Promo has created a new website. It's called Confessions of a Fangirl or something like that. I have the link in the show notes. And basically, she is somebody who, as an adult, is realizing that she has so much fun in fandom and enjoying her fandom and living out, you know, these dreams and things that she's seen. For instance, she and another friend of mine, Kat Isidore, just came back from Gallifrey One, which is the Doctor Who convention in California every year. And they both went and cosplayed this year. And they got pictures with various doctors and in the TARDIS and everything. And she just had so much fun with that she started a new project where people can submit stories for things that are just you know, things that they've just gone totally crazy fangirlish. I'm actually debating writing up a short piece about the first time I dressed as a Klingon and how much fun that was and how that kind of broke me out of my shell and helped me accept my geekdom. But I don't know. We'll see if I can write that out. And lastly, Amy T.Y. on Twitter has posted a video for a class that she had, and it's her living out her dream. Her dream was always to ride dragons, and so she's created a video with pictures of herself photoshopped into the World of Warcraft interface, where she's going through the World of Warcraft looking for dragons so that she can finally ride one, all along with her trusty book that she read as a kid. It's adorable, it's cute, and it's totally awesome, and I highly recommend it. So again, the link to that will be in the show notes.
You're listening to Nutty Bites. Good for you.
What am I watching?
Okay, so this month I have gotten into a couple of things. Number one, I saw an episode of Community, which I'm sure lots of people have heard about. The Advanced Dungeons and Dragons episode. It was so funny and so hilarious that I had to watch it again, you know, go and watch other episodes. And every episode that I've seen since then has been just as funny and just as geeky. So I've seen about maybe 4 or 5 episodes total now. I know it's in its second season, but every episode has something really geeky, really funny, and something that just kind of touches me, from D&D references to Firefly references to LeVar Burton being on there to throwbacks to The Cosby Show, all very funny. And so that has now made it onto my DVR. And when I finally get Netflix, I will probably try to watch the first season of this. Very funny. Love the timing. Love the chemistry of the different characters. Really good show. I highly recommend it. I've also started watching Spartacus: Blood and Sand. I know that that's probably, again, old news. It's really interesting. I'm only about 4 episodes in. I know I have to get a little bit further to get all the political stuff. But my beginning impressions are that somebody saw 300 and said, this is awesome. Let's make something like this with a lot more nudity and violence and gore. And it really is. It's like... you've taken a slasher flick and a softcore porn and put it together, but it's actually really good. And Lucy Lawless is in it. And who doesn't love Lucy Lawless? I mean, really? I was a fan of Ask a Ninja from like way back in the get-go. I think like, what, 2005 when they started? I always watched it, loved it, hysterical. I think we actually have a DVD of it here somewhere. I did not realize that they restarted back in October, and it's been a while since I've watched Ask a Ninja. So while I was sick, I found it on YouTube and I went and I watched every single episode since October. And it's absolutely hysterical. And I love how it's evolved. And it's more than just what it was. I mean, it's involving pop culture and current topics and things like that. And it's just hysterical. So I highly recommend that. Also, I think I am 2 discs in, 2.5, maybe 3, I'm not sure, of the Ghost in the Shell standalone complex. Highly recommend it. I was a pretty big fan of the manga. It gets bonus points for including the Tachikomas, which are awesome. Although I didn't really picture them sounding like little girls, but it's okay. It works. I do say that watching this in color and animated, I have a lot of issues with. I just don't understand the major's costuming choices, because I'm sorry, who's going to take anyone serious who's running around in their underwear? And why would you wear thigh highs when doing police work rather than just leggings or tights? I didn't understand that. In the manga, it was all black and white, so it wasn't really obvious, but seeing it in color and in animated action, it kind of makes me quirk my head to the side. Although I do like her tack outfit. Very cool. Totally worth watching. Very interesting. It's a cyberpunky kind of thing. She is basically her body was not strong enough to survive as a child. And so they moved her consciousness into a synthetic body. And so she's a cyborg, but it's basically her whole body is prosthetic. It's pretty much Mark the Encaffeinated One's dream. Although something tells me he's probably not going to want to go into the Major's kind of body. I don't know. Something tells me he might want to keep his own gender. But, you know, I can't speak for other people. Art happenings. So not too many things have been going on with the creative side this past month. Being sick really kind of threw a monkey wrench into the whole thing. Also traveling the beginning part of the month really threw a monkey wrench into everything. So I didn't really do that much, although I was spending Valentine's Day with my niece and my nephew. And so for Valentine's Day, I drew pictures of us from photographs that I had, and then I scanned them in, and in Photoshop I added color and some fancy backgrounds, and that was their official Valentine on Valentine's Day, and it was really cute, and they had a lot of fun with it. So, yeah, pretty much I colored myself some Valentines this year. That was a lot of fun. What's going to happen next month, though, I just want to let everyone know that I have declared March to be the official art month, in which that means, well, last year I started it for the month of Lent. I would create something every single day. And so this year I'm going to do that again, but I'm going to start early, actually in like a day I have to start this, where every single day I have to create something. I have no choice. It's kind of like NaNoWriMo. You got to get your words in every day. Well, Art Month, you've got to have 30 creations in 30 days. So that's what's going to happen. And for me, it's actually 40 because actually it'll be longer than 40 because it'll be 40. Plus Lent starts on the 9th, so it'll be more like 50. It'll be a little extended. But that's my whole thing. So March is Art Month. Who's going to join me? Anyone going to do this with me? I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It's time for a nutty debate.
Hello, everyone. Nuke Chaz here with another debate. And with me, I've got the Serial Killer and Tech.
Hello. That was not the Serial Killer, by the way. So reverse order. Hello.
Our next debate, our debate up for today is most ineffectual cast member of a sci-fi series or movie.
Commander Troy, get on your trampoline.
And we're going to be... Oh, I twisted the microphone. Hang on. This microphone has a mind of its own. We're going to...
Unlike Commander Troy.
No, she just gets mind raped.
Oh, the rape doll.
We're going to be deciding from different sci-fi series... And just let's just throw a bunch of candidates out there of who is useless.
Well, I think I've already softballed out one. Deanna Troi. Okay, Star Trek The Next Generation.
Janeway. Star Trek Voyager.
That slow-headed, the slow-thinking, slow-talking, camouflage-faced dude from Sequest. I can't think of his
Dagwood?
Name.
Dagwood? I love Dagwood.
Dagwood was awesome.
Peter DeLuise, and, like, there was this mind link between him and Michael DeLuise's character. I love that. He's not ineffectual. He's a janitor. How is he ineffectual as a janitor? Not only did he clean the floors and other janitorial things that, well, I mean, you never saw the bathroom, so I'm sure the bathrooms were clean, but he had this mind link going on with Michael DeLuise's character, and they saved the ship a couple times.
I just hated that show.
You're just jealous because all the girls liked Jonathan Brandis.
Oh, Jonathan Brandis, speaking of ineffective. Oh, look at me, I'm a child genius. Oh, look at my dolphin.
By the way, that was not crude sexual innuendo. He actually had a dolphin. For those of you who don't know the series.
The name was Darwin, and it talked. Fail.
Okay, maybe Darwin should be the ineffectual crew member from Sequest.
Nah, that thing was trained to hunt mines. I mean, it did what dolphins did. It squeaked for tidbits and...
And how many mines did it detect?
Mm-hmm. It did all kinds of stuff. It was a dolphin. Paid Jonathan Brandis more than that fish. I know, dolphins aren't fish. Calm down, internet. Put your angry emails away. Save those for later. There's more coming.
All right, so who else is useless?
Oh,
you've broken my brain. All I can think about is Commander Troy on a trampoline now. Mm.
That's from the last debate. That was at least a month ago. I don't know when I'm releasing this one, so you can't bring
still
that up.
Still relevant.
No, it's
the
not.
The only use Deanna Troy had was as the ship's bouncy specialist.
She had the ability to tell people what they were feeling, even though it was clearly evident to everybody else.
Yes.
It's better than repeating a computer.
The problem is that they used her ability to read minds, like her telepathy, again and again and again as a weakness. So what... Can somebody please... Okay, internet world. Somebody take account. How many episodes were there where she was mind-raped by a bad guy? And so that's all she was a mental rape doll. Episode after episode after episode.
But not even that.
You know what, though? Honestly, she did more than Jake Sisko did, so there.
Oh, well, that's a whole other bag of useless.
Well,
he found self-sealing stem bolts.
I'm a writer.
And... without Deanna Troy, we would not have Luoxana Troy. So there.
Molly O'Brien. All she did was be cute.
That was her job. She was a little kid. She was supposed to be cute.
But ineffectual.
No. Her job is to be cute, so she was highly effectual as that.
Keiko
is not ineffectual. Poor Keiko got sent to a ship that has no plants on it. What's she supposed to do? It's not her fault.
I really don't think ineffectual is a real word. By the way,
Yes, it is.
No, ineffective.
Useless.
Useless
in three syllables.
Well, I'm trying
Keiko
to make it so that
is
the,
not useless.
The actually useless people that are
which, by the way,
right now.
Genius. Let's put a bunch of Starfleet people on Deep Space Nine. But no, we're not going to give them a school. Hell are they thinking?
Not even just that. Is that whenever Keiko has a point to bring up, whenever she's in a role where she has to make a decision or something, she sounds like Edith Bunker. She just comes across like a lawn rink across a track going, "Yeah, but Miles, we have to do this." And it always comes down to just nagging her husband until something happens.
Dude, she had paw rates inside her. You have paw rates inside you. And tell me how naggy you are after that.
Actually, it's quite curable these days with Valtrex.
Yes, Valtrex will cure a paw rate infection. Unfortunately, they do tend to come back in outbreaks about every 6 months or so.
Yes,
that's right. The paw rates. Star Trek herpes.
That's horrible. C-3PO.
Ooh.
He was fluent in over 6 million forms.
Yeah, but when they actually needed him to interpret for them, did he save them from the Ewoks? No. Oh. It was Leia who came out and said, "They're my friends. I'm so happy to see you all."
All right, boys and girls, I'm going to risk some dangerous, dangerous territory right now. Now that you mentioned C-3PO.
Uh-oh.
Boba Fett.
Oh,
yes.
Expletive deleted, but no.
He captured no one.
He's awesome.
Lando Calrissian's treachery captured Han Solo, not Boba Fett. And then, what does he do? He gets into the Sarlacc pit instead of being useful.
Yeah, he's more pimp than you are or ever be.
One errant shot, and all of a sudden his jetpack malfunctions. He slams into the side of the barge and down into the Sarlacc pit.
Anymore.
The most bad
donkey
looking bounty hunter of all time.
That's what he was. He was man candy.
Boba Fett is a visual icon. No one will ever forget that helmet, that backpack, that blaster. So what does he do? He goes down like a chump. Total number of people killed in Star Wars by Boba Fett? The big old goose egg. Zero. Ineffective. There are stormtroopers that have a higher kill rating than Boba. I've seen... There are more ineffective. There are more effective.
Generic stormtrooper number 346... 3 kills to his name. Boba Fett?
TK-427?
Zero.
Why are you not at your post?
Unfortunately, most of those Stormtrooper kills were Ewoks, but...
Hey. Ewoks is people, too.
Or Hoth rebels.
That means they're kills, because they're funny to kill.
By the way, I hate you.
What?
I don't care if Boba Fett's ineffectual on paper.
Hey, whoa.
He has a past, and he's cool,
I'm
and
sorry,
awesome.
But this isn't the debate. This isn't the debate of who was cool in the past. Because C-3PO probably was a pimp in the past. I mean, he got built by Darth Vader. However screwed up that is.
No, he wasn't, because those
Darth
first two movies
Vader.
Don't count.
Those first three movies never happened.
Just
or
like there was only one
last
Matrix
three
movie.
Movies, or whatever you want to say.
Oh, also, in The Matrix, I'm going to say it right now, in the only movie that counted in The Matrix, Neo. All he did was whinge, whine, get his
donkey
saved by people, and then go, holy crap, I can actually do something at the one moment he actually needed to do it. So yeah, he was effective at one thing.
But that was the only thing he had to be effective for.
No, because he could have, if he had realized at the start of the movie he was the one, instead of going, I know kung fu, and actually done some kung fu, he could have beat some
donkey
the whole time. But what does he do? He goes, oh God, it's not real. Please save me, Trinity, in your tight leather outfit.
You ask Trinity to save you in a tight leather
outfit? I'd be asking her to do many things, but not save me.
She'd save me over and over again.
So, I have taken the unpopular stance twice now, and once at least
I'm arguing with Neo, because it's acted by Keanu Reeves, what he does is fail.
Lord Keanu Reeves is actually not to be slammed in this. He used to be one of our finest actors before Shakespeare. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
Well,
totally acted like a clueless idiot. He was perfect in that role.
Acting. Yeah,
that wasn't that big of a stretch.
Did you see him in Parenthood with Steve Martin?
I got another one for you. If I'm going to be the guy who tosses out the oddball choices and everybody goes, hey, whoa, you're wrong, Rufus.
Rufus?
George
Carlin? Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures?
That man
had a time machine. He knew how the hell to use it. And what does he do? Instead of going back and saving the world, he relies on two stoner idiots to do it for him.
Because he had to be their Jiminy Cricket.
No. He did not.
They had to find the path themselves.
Ineffective sci-fi characters. I feel the need to bring up Doc Brown. I mean, other than building the time machine,
he spends the next
three movies mucking it up, seemingly on purpose. So what does he do? Hey, Marty, great Scott, check this out. I've invented a time machine. Now watch me muck up the space-time continuum and make you
forget it
for me.
By the way,
language.
By the way, expletive deleted, and don't make out with your mother. He could have at least told him that.
Mom was hot.
Marty knew not to make out with his mom.
And his dad was Willard. How creepy is that?
Well, his dad wasn't Willard then.
By the way, this debate is brought to you by Toilet Vino and Cynicism, because we seem to be some major jerks today.
I can't believe you're like...
This is a hateful
pulling on all my childhood heroes. This is horrible.
I'm going to get shot for hating
on Doc Brown.
Next he's going to
turn around and say that Wash was ineffective. And that is...
No.
We can't besmirch Wash. No,
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Moment of silence.
All right.
Moment of silence for Wash. Moment observed.
Moment observed.
Nobody played with dinosaurs better than Wash.
I have to say, on Serenity, are there actually any useless characters? Other than the characters from Shindig, where the girls that were making fun of Kaylee and the guys...
Vera.
Vera is not useless.
When did Vera ever prove useful?
She was scary.
No, Vera actually did blow a ship up. So yes.
And I believe Vera is with the gun that they used to shoot the Reavers.
Yes, yeah. They blew some Reavers' asses up. Yes, okay,
so
I'm wrong.
Vera's not
I retract that statement. Vera's I'm sorry,
useless.
Please
there
don't kill
no
me.
There are no useless characters in...
No.
No, because Captain Mal wouldn't have useless people aboard his ship. Everybody there serves a purpose, and they all work together in a tight-knit family. A useless person would have been spaced or sold.
I mean, basically, Simon would be the... most useless, but he was a great doctor, and he got them good.
Simon wasn't useless;
work.
He just came with baggage, and not just his sister. I mean, it's you can't besmirch anybody on Firefly. If you do, I will shank you.
No, I'm just saying, like even the small characters, there's really no
useless
people.
Seem to be on a prison fix lately. I'm sorry, over the past few months, if I seem to have been like I've done
Please
time.
Apologize to the prisoners that you are offending.
Yes, those of you that are listening from jail, I believe we've addressed you a few months ago, or...
That was a different podcast.
On a different podcast, apparently. Please, don't end your sentences by burning my house down.
And it also needs, well, that if you are in jail and have listened to our debates before on other podcasts, you're toilet vino and or orange drink fermented on radiator business should be blossoming by now, so you should be knee-deep in cigarettes and doing quite well for yourself.
Remember us.
Remember us.
Okay.
The little people.
Back to useless characters.
Right, useless characters in sci-fi.
Admiral Akbar. Other than yelling, it's a trap, what did he do?
He informed us that many Bothans died for this information.
Those poor Bothans. Most effective characters ever.
Maybe. I don't know. Somebody in there. I don't know. Somebody told us that. I don't know.
He did provide me with the line. Star Wars fans
now writing the angry emails.
Rick Moranis in Ghostbusters. Useless.
Rick Moranis?
Yeah.
He was the perfect keymaster. I mean, how can you argue? You're arguing that, like... You're arguing against my, well, the janitor doing his job well, and the keymaster was the man. He was the perfect keymaster. All you needed to be useful in that role was to be spineless and weak-willed. Check and double-check.
We've gone around and around and around. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there are some characters that are written to be, like, bumbling fools or to be less effective than others, but no character... Well, I'm going to go right back to where we started. No character has consistently failed more... than Deanna Troi.
Janeway.
No, Janeway failed on purpose. She was just a train wreck of awful.
Deanna served her purpose as the mind rape doll, whatever you want to call her, but Janeway failed as a captain.
We can't call Janeway ineffective because she ended up getting her ship home, even though it was...
And she did what she needed to do.
Reg Barkley did. If Reg Barkley could bring a ship home... What the heck do you have to do wrong to not be able to get it back yourself?
By the way, early leader in the Next Generation would have been Reginald Barkley in this debate if he had not brought Voyager home. Go Reg, go.
Go Reg, go.
Go Spider-Man.
Reg is kind of cool, though. Without that.
Regressive DNA episode?
Yeah.
He turns into a spider.
Oh, right.
Deanna turns into a fish.
How big of a nerd am I?
Worf turns into, like, a Targ or something.
Worf just gets whinier.
No, I
he
think
does
he...
that
by the way, Michael Dorn, your voice is much more intimidating than mine, and you probably could kick my
donkey.
So, I really like you. I just did not like Worf.
I'm more attracted to Michael Dorn than I am to you. I hope that's okay with you.
I have the power of beard.
Beard.
I'm more attracted to Michael Dorn than you.
Well,
wait, good. Michael Dorn has beard too.
Oh man, I have nothing compared to Michael Dorn. So.
Useless. I'm going to put Worf up as useless.
No, Worf did kick a lot of
donkey.
He just whined while
he did
Deep it.
In Deep Space Nine.
Well, no, but if you consider...
look at the Next Generation. He is a useless Klingon. Why? Because every time somebody big gets on the ship, what do? They beat up Worf.
Well, Worf served his purpose then. He was the object lesson.
No,
don't screw with
Klingon.
This big guy. Because he can take the Klingon down.
As a Klingon. He was kind of cool once we got to DS9. I mean, he still had his whiny bits. But honestly, he was kind of failure as a Klingon.
He also kind of failed to teach Alexander anything. So there's that.
Gosh.
Alexander,
worst
also.
Worst father ever.
Alexander, not useless, but damn was he as annoying as Wesley Crusher, if not more.
I don't know.
Like they said, hey, Wesley's
him.
Not here anymore. We need someone annoying. By the way, Will Wheaton, I'm sorry.
I had fun with him sometimes, though. Especially when he comes back on Deep Space Nine. It's really fun.
Still annoying.
Ineffectual characters.
Martok's cooler.
Okay, so we've decided on two biggies. We've got Deanna Troi, although there is a little bit of debate there. I think the only one there's no real debate on is Boba Fett. I know there's dissension in the ranks, but Boba Fett was useless. Pure useless. Just crack the numbers.
No.
IG-88 was more useful as a bounty hunter, and all he did was stand there in one scene, because at least he didn't die or malfunction or get thrown into a Sarlacc pit.
Who are you?
He didn't really get thrown into the Sarlacc pit. His crappy piloting of a jetpack got him into the Sarlacc pit. That's even more ineffectual. At least he could have gone, oh crap, my jetpack got shot. Lean to the left a little. You know, if he'd just been a better jetpack pilot, he wouldn't have been Sarlacc. By the way, I think he's still being Sarlacc now. It was a thousand years of digestion, right? Mm-hmm. So,
although actually,
it is in a galaxy far, far away, and it was
long ago.
So it could be 1,000 years ago. Sarlacc, if you're still digesting Boba Fett,
let us know.
I feel sorry for you because that
Take
armor can't be tasty.
Mm.
Oh, that's got to be... It's all jagged.
Seriously. And it's got that all those antennas that really didn't do anything for him.
Plus the big missile in the back that he never did launch.
Well, he did in the movies that don't count.
Useless characters and something we saw recently.
Well, that was Django.
Won't be recent when this airs, but the 80s chick that we don't know who she is from the first Tron movie.
Oh, yes. Unknown Tron Lady.
Other than having her...
She served,
user station, I'm not really sure.
She served one real purpose in that movie, and that was being the only woman in that movie.
Yeah.
Wow, so it's now down to Janeway, Boba Fett, Counselor Troy, or unknown 80s Tron lady.
And just, I still...
C-3PO?
No, he did some things.
What did he do?
He kept R2 focused.
No, he didn't. He bugged R2 and tried to keep him off task.
He kept Chewbacca's back warm on Cloud City.
I don't think he kept it warm. If anything, it would probably be cold.
Thermal layer there, you know. It's all about layering. So, I'm still going to stand behind Boba Fett 100% here. 100%.
The evidence continues to mount up
because Boba Fett, for his emphasis, did nothing. Lando, you become the most effective man ever for doing Boba Fett's job and being effective at being a colossal
frittata.
But then redeeming yourself.
Talk about the ultimate flip-flopper.
Oh, but flip-floppery is not bad. Unless you're a presidential candidate. Flip-floppery is bad then.
You know what Lando Calrissian has going for him?
Hmm?
He's played by Billy Dee Williams.
That's right.
And he's awesome. And he drinks Colt 45.
Billy Dee Williams?
The man.
The only two people cooler than you, and I'm only going to say one of them because he'll kill me if I don't, is Michael Dorn and...
What? No, Billy Dee Williams is way cooler than Michael
and
Dorn.
And Will Wheaton.
Okay, Billy Dee Williams is cooler than both those people.
No.
Okay, that is another debate for another time.
This is the worst and most useless debate ever.
She only says this because Boba Fett clearly stands out. She's really peeved at us right now, and I probably will not be invited to another podcast or debate. So while I can, the Zero Killer at YouTube. Remember, check me out. I have enchanting head movements.
Rantings of a Frantic Contradiction, brought to you by Tech, coming to a podcast near you.
Zero Killer? You're an idiot.
That's it. Thanks for joining me. I originally had planned to have a work of fiction instead of the Nutty Debate, but unfortunately, because I didn't have time to record because of being sick, that'll probably have to wait till March. So hopefully March, we'll have a nice Shadowrun adventure for everyone to listen to. And that should be a lot of fun. So in the meantime, if anybody has any bumpers, I'd love to add them in. I love my bumpers. I love getting stuff from people and throwing it in here. So thank you so much, everyone who's already given me stuff so far. Laura Frechette, Mark the Encaffeinated One, Geek Acres, Vivid Muse, everyone that is contributing, thank you very much. Also, if anybody has, you know, fake ads they want to throw in here, send those in. If anybody has a promo for their show, send that in. If you have a bumper, that's great. If you've got an idea for creating a bumper for Art Happenings, I heard it on Twitter. What am I watching? What's awesome in the month of? Just let me know. I can tell you which months are already taken. And I would love to get that thrown in here. Also, music. I'd love to get some music. So if anybody is musically inclined and wants to contribute something, I would really appreciate it. But in the meantime, you'll just have to listen to clips of things that I've found and have trimmed down to use under the fair use defense. So please have a listen, enjoy, have an awesome month of March, and I'll talk to you at the end of March. To send me feedback, you can email me at nuttybytes@nimlast.org. You can call me at 347-NUTTY-42. You can go to the blog over at nimlast.org/blog. That's NIMLAS. Easy way to remember. Nuke Jess is my Lord and Savior. I did not create that, but it's stuck with me. And lastly, this work is created by Nimlast Studios. This work is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. You need to know what that means. You can look it up, but basically you can share it, listen to it. Just make sure you link back, don't change it, and don't sell it. Oh, and one more thing. The music in this podcast was created by Mindless Self-Indulgence, a.k.a. MSI.
Are you recording this right now? You're recording our lack of ability to come up with a proper debate.
Well, I was actually recording the text humming.
What, me humming the Jurassic Park theme?
I don't know. I'm surprised you're not whistling. All right, so, starting this up.
This part will be edited out.
This part will be deleted because we're recording live audio right now.
Well, not live. If this was live, people would really, really, really be killing
me. Oh my gosh, all of a sudden there's French. But even Mom likes Michael Dorn more than Steve, sorry.
My mom does have a war fashion figure.
She does?
Yeah.
All right.